Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's a beautiful sunny day once again in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Price.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's wonderful, actually, that I'm invited every week. You know, I might just put this in my schedule. You know, that's what I was thinking.
I think that's a good idea.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, there would just, I'll you.
There would just be something missing if you didn't show up.
Oh, I don't know, Ashley. I think you've been growing into this pretty well, so you might be taking, you know, some good cues here and getting yourself geared up.
Ha-ha-ha.
Yeah, you know, I always try to set you up like that, and so I guess I've done it too many times. You're starting to read into it.
Yeah, yeah, I can see straight through it.
Well, we've been having a wonderful week, and you know it's true. We have another sunny Thursday. I like this about God. You know, we should have been stroke counting it. Did we start stroke counting yet? I know I mentioned it.
No, because it's sunny so many days that we can probably count how many days it isn't.
Yeah, well, we can do that. And then, of course, we are in the era of technology, so we can absolutely go back and check it. We can research. Research. Isn't that powerful? So, Ashley, have you been following the response to my organizational profits training on the iConference with Duane Holmes?
Yes, I have. I've been looking at quite a few posts up there in response to your training that you did about that organizational profit, and it seems to have set off quite a buzz in the kingdom of God there in a very good way.
And God knows we could use a good buzz right now, couldn't we?
Well, you know, with the body of Christ, you always have to check.
So why don't you do, yeah, no, thank God. Why don't you do me a favor? Let's just take a couple of minutes, tell them about the organizational profits class, and share some of the responses. I always like to put you on the spot. Do you feel on the spot? Are you on the spot yet?
Yeah, I feel the spot.
You feel it.
You know, I have not heard your interview that you did yet with it. I have to get my hands on it. But Prophet Duane Holmes from Prophet Duane Global Ministries Incorporated has hosted this week an iConference where she has different ministers from around the country contributing to her iConference, which is her internet conference. And so Dr. Price was one of the guest speakers day two now of this. And so she thought, someone posted on here, Renee Scott said, that day two of my prophetic destiny released revelation and power. Apostle Paula Price released rich insight and revelation that was liberating. Thank you for causing the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened. And so then she compliments Prophet Duane on hosting this and how it was inspiring and empowering and for embracing her destiny as well and leading her to that. So that's just some of the comments. Love sharing testimonies from me from her conference is Prophet Dawn about how the feedback and the response from your session was great. Someone else said, I am so encouraged by you sharing regarding the philosophy of your program for prophetic ministry. I have spent an enormous amount of money on my secular and ministerial careers. Ministerial programs have disappointed me because of the content once I purchased it. And if online, it's not interactive and personal. It is refreshing to hear that so much research and prayer has been done and integrated for the kingdom. Absolutely profound. Thank you for your transparency and dedication. So that is just some of the feedback in relationship to that teaching. So whatever you said, which, you know, you say what you say, was powerful and is continuing to have ripple effects.
Well, listen, you're thinking about the interview, which was amazing. You know, Prophet Duane is an amazing interviewer, and we had just a great time. We go back a little bit. So I thank God. Maybe one day I'll have her on a Thursday and she can talk a little bit about what she's doing, because I think her iConference is a really great idea. We've been getting good feedback from it, and she's doing a superb job of promoting it. So if you are on my Facebook and many of you are, or again, if you could, well, Facebook is lit up with it. All I can say is that everywhere I went, it was there. She's doing such an extraordinary job. But if you are, you just go there and you'll see the link for the iConference. Now, it's free, but she's doing something marvelous in that she's enabling you to own it if that is what you want to do, whether you want to own one single speaker or all of them. And she's got great speakers. She's got a panel. But what she has put together is quite effective. And so I just wanted to share that because one of my passions is the gainful employment of apostles and prophets. And so when she asked me to be one of those speakers and wanted to know what I would like to speak on, I told her, you know, I want to talk about organizational prophetics because those are the prophets that are most wandering and swirling around in the pool of confusion. That kind of prophet or prophetic person. And listen, not just prophet, prophetic person, a seer, a dreamer, you know, that psalmist, that intercessor, all of those people fit in that category, that classification, if you will, of prophetic ministry. And yet, they are the ones with no place to go. You know, they're not like that church prophet that can sit there and look around and intercede and suddenly God just speaks and it just, oh, my gosh, the heavens open, you know, the room breaks out in a wave and whatever. You say something and people are like, well, that's not what I want to hear. Or that makes no sense. Or that doesn't sound like a prophet to me at all because you're different. And because you're different, which is what I love about how the prophetic is shaping out and stretching out, what I like about it is that because it's different and because we're yet formulating this whole institution in terms of bringing it back on board, God has given us the grace to find out where the rest of you belong. And some of you all, you're like, okay, I go to my church. I know I heard from God, but they tell me I didn't. You know, okay, so I'm going to get a mentor. I've got it covered. I've got a mentor. I'm going to tell my mentor. Okay, so my mentor doesn't get it. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down with my pastor because surely my pastor can. Okay, so that didn't help. Now, or either you're thrown into the intercessor squad or you're thrown on a prophetic company and you are the odd man out. You're the odd one out. Nobody really gets you, and yet you know you're hearing from God. And so where do you go? Well, it could well be that you are that prophet that is called to another organization, not just the marketplace, although in that broad sense, yes. But you're called to be the prophet or part of a prophetic institution over a business, over an institution, over some other enterprise, and you don't hear outside of that calling. A prophet is not going to hear outside of that calling. And so when she asked me to do it, I was ready to do it because I'd already had a class on organizational prophetics. How does a prophet's mantle fit outside the local church, outside the typical church environment? You know, actually, that's really a great deal of what we've been doing here in our ministry anyway. We've been talking about how to fit all the members of the body of Christ in their respective places. You know, I found out just because someone says that they're a pastor doesn't mean that they're called to a church. There are many, many, many places for a pastor's mantle to manifest and perform effectively. And some people know they're called to the pastorate, and a church can't survive. Your church cannot survive. You don't know why my church won't grow, why it won't stay stable, why the minute I start growing it, as soon as we get a certain number or a certain place, it dies. What is it that I'm doing wrong? May not be what you're doing wrong, but it may be that you're in the wrong place, and that's something that the body of Christ has to think of. We believe that God does everything one way, and that's the popular prevailing way, that we haven't given place to his own dimensions, his own branches, his own areas of specialization and expertise. I mean, if he says he has thrones and powers and principalities and dominion, and he says he has rank and he's got hosts, and he's laying it out for us, what is he telling us? Everything is the same. And so when I did the organizational prophets class and we designed it, I realized, okay, so what do we do with these high-powered mantles who don't have a place in the church or who really are not called to start a business per se or whatever else. And that's what we shared in that interview. So I just gave you a little taste of it. She formulated some great questions, only a handful of questions. She's a great interviewer and allowed me to expound on what it was that I did. But I say that to encourage those of you who are prophets, go to that and listen to that. That's amazing. It's an amazing teaching. It's going to answer so many questions for you. And then you get an opportunity to own it because she has an arrangement for you to download it. So you can, let's say you're a chief prophet of a prophetic company. Guess what you can do? You can download that and use it as a training for your prophets. It's also going to give you better insight into the uniqueness of the mantles that are in your company. You know, the whole idea of being a chief prophet is not babysitting or herding prophecy. That is not what God is calling you to do. He's calling you to facilitate his staffing of his entire body with divine communicators, prophets, divine communicators through worldwide and throughout the kingdom. And so you have to know what that is. You have to know what that looks like. And that's one of the things that I offer in my prophetic education program, which is what she's talking about. Where do you fit? How to know that you fit? And then if you fit, so and so, once you've discovered that, and Ashley's going to tell you in a few minutes how you're going to figure that out, but once you've discovered that, now the next question is, how do I do this thing? How do I do this job? I mean, how do I take the way God deals with me and transform it into the function and the communication and the guardianship that he has assigned? And so I've discovered the prophetic is a huge, huge institution, and we don't want to deal with it like that because we aren't familiar with looking at it outside of the 30 seconds they let you prophesy in church, and that's if they give you 30 seconds, because some of you aren't getting 30 seconds. I'm talking to somebody now who has a stack of journals that you've been writing and writing and writing, and dreams that you've been recording and recording, and you've used a book after book and journal after journal, waiting for a day and waiting for somebody to explain who you are. And this that I'm talking about right now, today, I'm just addressing this organizational prophets piece because that's what she's promoting. But I want to tell you something. This type of clarification is needed for the entire body of Christ in every fivefolder. There is no such thing as a cookie-cutter pastor. And I'm talking to someone else who knows God called you to pastor and you don't feel a church in your gut. Guess what? You're probably right. You're probably called to pastor something, some group of people. I don't believe that God has people pastoring the broom closet and the janitorial room, and you're pastoring the music, the soundboard and at the church. And I don't believe that's not pastoring. That's just monitoring, and that's, you know, that's just handling. And there's a difference between handling and pastoring. So I'm not talking about that. You know, I'm talking about you who know God called you to pastor. I know he kept saying, feed my sheep, guide my sheep. You know how God does it. Okay, I will give you pastors after mine own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding, my knowledge and understanding. You know God has said that. And then we've got the evangelist who is not called to travel all over, but it's yet got clear that I have an evangelical call, or who is called to a certain nation and not just to preach and have altar calls. You feel something bigger and greater in yourself. I'm talking to that teacher who feels like, okay, I'm telling you, and the teacher's the one. You know, I was one of those. The teacher's the biggest one. You're the one. If somebody said you call a teacher, and all you see is a handful of children who don't want to learn, who are tearing up a classroom. You can't get a bigger picture of teaching than that. And now God is doing a new thing. So now you have to find out, what kind of teacher are you? What subject matter are you most predisposed to? What dimension of training and education are you most inclined to? So you can get those answers today There was a time we didn't know. They said teach. We kind of fumbled around and stumbled into that and stumbled out of this or that until eventually some of us were fortunate enough to land in the right place. Others were fumbled until we just got too old to do anything, and we just sat down and settled for whatever was there. But I'm telling you that God has no cookie-cutter ministries. There is none. He has departments. He has dimensions. He has classes and categories of ministers to serve the diverse members of the body. He said, we are many members. We're a myriad of members, and not everybody is going to receive from him the exact same way. We need that psalmist who is going to reveal the word of the Lord and give us guidance and instruction in a musical way, because some people, that's what unlocks them. We need that educating spirit, that academic spirit for the person who is, I'm a logical person, you know. The logistics are important to me. So there cannot be a cookie cutter. And that was what I know came out of the organizational prophets discussion and that session. So you want to go and listen to that. But then you want to find out where you fit, because you can't assume. We taught you something that doesn't bear out in any other sphere of society or humanity professions. If no other field would do it, we said to you, well, just get up, read your Bible, decide what you want to do, follow what burns in your heart, and just get on up and do it. Well, that hasn't worked out well for far too many people. A few people, hey, they fell into it. Praise God. You know, God uses what we give him. If we give him a mustard seed, he's going to use the mustard seed. We give him a grain of a mustard seed, he's going to use that. If we give him a vineyard, he's going to use a vineyard. Whatever we give him, because he's the Almighty God, he can do it. But that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of loss and disappointment and confusion along the way. So there are some of you out there, you're going to say, well, I know, I already know I'm a prophet because I feel like it. But that's great, but wouldn't you like to know it for sure? But what if you're not a prophet and you're pressing into something that isn't yours, and the attending powers and spirits that the Lord uses to undergird what he's called us to do are waiting over there in your real office for you to get there? So now you don't have resources, you don't have staff, or either you may have all of that because you happen to fall into something where money is not a problem, but you have no fulfillment, no gratification, people don't appreciate you, you can't get the respect, can't get the regard. But, you know, think about that. All of those are worthy considerations for your calling. And so I do this on Thursdays for whatever issue God puts on my heart that he wants to share with you. And many of you are frustrated. The bulk of our calls are how to know my destiny, how to get into my destiny, how to find my place, how to prosper in my place, how to get ready to serve God. But they're all revolving around you wanting to please God. They revolve around you needing to please God. They revolve around you, some of you wanting to give God the best and knowing that you lack what he needs right now. I mean, I've not been so encouraged as I have in doing these calls to meet so many people who want to serve the Lord in truth, who want to find out how to get unstuck in their life and how to lift up and do their purpose. You know, we talk often about gift and office. Some of you all are supposed to be attached to an officer, and we've got you out there working by yourself, and it's not making sense. You realize that there are people who are quality number twos or quality number threes, and because they're so good at their role, their place, that number one, that front runner can get the job done. But you need to know that. And those are the things that God wants to bring out into his body as he puts us in his divine order. Because we've had order. We just don't know if it's been God's divine order. But when you go to that site, again, just click on it. You'll see she's got pictures. She's done a phenomenal job of promoting it. I'm so impressed with that. But she's got pictures. She's got explanations. So if you're called to be a prophet in any respect, or if you are prophetic, I get dreams, I get visions, I hear words. When I pray, things happen. When I read the Bible, it mushrooms, it opens up to me. However way God does it for you, you are going to greatly appreciate that interview. It's going to open up a wealth of information and a wellspring of life and revelation to your soul. You're going to feel, oh, my God, I finally clicked in myself. But having said that, Ashley, what else will we add to that wonderful exhortation that I just gave? I know, come on, this is a question. Do I need to put the little button on, ding you in and ding you out, what?
No, I think, you know, you cover a lot of things there. What I appreciate about you teaching on organizational prophetics is you give prophets the opportunity to keep their gifts and offices in the kingdom of God. How many people have floated over to the psychic realm because they have not seen how their prophetic mantle can function in God but outside of the four walls of the church? And that's a very pivotal thing that you've done with that, and even tagging it organizational prophetic. So we know you are assigned to an organization, and you are still a prophet nonetheless, and teaching that being a prophet is more than prophesying, which is also where people get stuck when they hear something like that. Well, what are you going to do, prophesy all day in an office? I mean, come on, how much can you say from God? There's all kinds of things that run through people's minds because of the ignorance, the genuine lack of knowledge concerning the office of the prophet. So I'm excited about this door that's being opened for this particular topic. And, of course, I'm always excited to promote your materials.
And so what should we promote next? If we're going to give you an A in this class, we already got your A's, your Z's. You got it all. I don't know, Ashley. I guess I don't have anything else now to motivate you with, I guess, huh?
Dinner. You can always motivate me with dinner.
Ha ha! That is the truth. That is the truth. But we want to tell them about our assessment.
Absolutely. We have the standardized ministry assessments. It is a series of assessments that does exactly that. It's an X-ray of who you are. Your X-ray will tell you what has happened in your body previously, what's going on right now, and what could be happening in the future. And that's what the assessment does. It is a view of you from the inside out. It's a very exciting process where you can see what your life experience has produced in you as a minister. These results are phenomenal. They do identify if you are called to be in the house of the Lord, if you are called to work in the secular arena with your office or your gifting, if you're functioning on the gifting or office level, if you show the potential to transition into a different office. There are a lot of people who say, you know, I'm a prophet, but I feel like I'm an apostle. What's that all about? The assessment highlights specific things like that. There are some hyphenated offices where some people kind of function in two at one time in the gifting or office level. And the list goes on. So the assessments are a powerful resource and a powerful tool that I'm still using. We talked about this on Tuesday, Dr. Price. I was going through my results from 6 years ago, and to see that now I am walking out some of those things that back then I was just like, what is this, and how in the world am I ever going to do all these things? Well, time goes by, and God has his way, and now I see how.
And you are doing it, you know?
Yes, I am.
You are clearly doing it, and you're doing what did not even seem possible, you know, 6 years ago. You think about now, today you are a prophet advisor. You have your own advisement company, and you are truly day in and day out functioning in a capacity of the prophetic that we've not even looked at before. You're not running around hoping that somebody will hire you, hoping that somebody will let you give a word. You're not doing that. You are gainfully employed, engaged in using that mantle beyond the 30 seconds of church, you know, and you know that's important because, see, in my church, I'll be the prophet, and by the time I finish saying everything, I don't really leave a whole lot for folks to say. So you weren't going to get but 30 minutes, maybe 30 seconds, a quarter. So now you have your own building, your own institution that you're building, your clientele. You have a whole client base that you're ministering to. Now, here's something that I would like to address. And that is, you know, I've had people say, because, you know, the body of Christ is forward and antiquated at the same time. You know, in effect, we mark time. And so we're forward thinking today. Well, we're going to use cell phones and internet and computers and all of that. But then we're antiquated. Well, but you know what? We shouldn't get money for prophesying. let me just tell you something. First of all, if all the person is doing is prophesying, that's pretty much very sketchy. That's very limited. If all you're paying is for somebody to give you a 20-second clip, a 30-second word, that's like somebody, like the theater's charging you for a trailer. I mean, come on. That's nice, but you really want to get the whole package. They're saying this is a tape. So, but my Bible tells me that a laborer is worthy of his wages, is worthy of his hire. And we are going to have to decide either Jesus is right or he's wrong. He did not say the laborer that we approve of, the field that we like. He said the laborer is worthy of his hire. And we're going to have to stop being the reason that Satan can bankrupt ministers and force them back into his kingdom and into his employment. Because that's the effect of that nonsensical doctrine, that we are bankrupting the ministers so that they have to turn to sin. They've got to work in the world. You know, Nehemiah had that same problem. He went, you know, we love the story of Nehemiah. But Nehemiah went through a whole renovation thing. He brought God's people back in, renovated, reordered everything, reinstituted everything he had. He had it all set up, supervisors, whatever. The guy goes away, and nobody is keeping what he's done. He comes back, and what does he say? The priest are gone back to their fields. And the whole institution is corrupt now because folk are out for survival. Hey, I got a family I got to feed. I've got whatever. And I'm telling you, but my Bible tells me a laborer is worthy of his, not your wages. He didn't say you set the wages. They said the laborer is worthy of his wages, his wages. So he didn't leave the setting up to you, or the preacher, or whoever. He left it up to the person. You know, and we don't mind if so-and-so, the television repair guy can set wages, the bus people can set wages. I'm telling you, everybody can set it. The pastor can set a wage. The preacher can set a wage. The evangelist can set a wage. The musicians, come on, we all know they set wages. And yet, when it comes to the people who break your life through and push you over to the other side, the people who can go in a realm of God and retrieve information that sets your tomorrows on track to destiny fulfilled, we tell them they better not ask for a dime. Who does that? There's nobody who wants to deprive God's people and God's messengers from the harvest on their work but the devil, because he knows it's coming out of him. So you will pay a psychic, and I mean, come on, pay them thousands of dollars and will not put a dime in the offering of a prophet, or they'll break you loose and you won't even send them a seed. Why? Because you have bought into Satan's destruction of that institution, and you don't know you did. You didn't mean to. I know you didn't, because I know I didn't. I cannot believe that the more I study God's word and the more I sit in his face, how much I have bought into the destruction of his institutions and the demise of his kingdom sovereignty. I can't even believe it. Because I mean, because religion will do that. Religion is always going to restrict. Redemption will always release. You have to know the difference. When you start feeling all I am is restricted, can't go here, can't go there, I can't promote money, I can't promote money, I can't go out here, I can't do that. Trust me, that's religion, and religion is about restricting, and we need to find out what the restrictions are for. Are they to what end? Are they restricting us from sin, or are they restricting us from prosperity? Are they restricting us from creation and innovation? You need to figure out, but I'm going to tell you, religion will always restrict, and redemption will always release. And when you're working with the Redeemer, Jesus Christ is always releasing his covenant promises on your life, and he does that across the board. So he is not going to think that a pastor should be secure in their life and a prophet should be in a transit home. That is not the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody on this planet will ever convince me of that. You cannot tell me that he feels like the musicians should make a ton of money and the choir singers ought to go broke. That is not God. That's religion. Because God wants everything in his body to prosper. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Go to work. Get a job. Do whatever you need to do. But it is not God's will that you are broke, that you cannot pay your bills, you cannot get a job. That is not his will. That is not his will. Now, that may be somebody's consequence. It may even be the consequences of a decision you made. But we need to separate God's will and God's provision and God's covenant promises from everyday life. The mundanities of life are always out to rob you. That's what life is, because life is going to make you force it to deliver. If you don't force life to deliver, it's going to give you nothing, because that's the way it's built. Now, we may not like it, but whether we like it or not, it just is what it is. And so I would say to all of you all, I don't care what your office is. I don't care. My Bible said that the hardworking farmer must be first partaker. The Bible said that those who work the altar should eat from the altar. See, that's Bible. And if you work the altar of somebody's heart, which is considered today under the New Testament the altar, then you need to eat from that altar. And somebody has to come against this thing, because we need to stop impoverishing the people of God. We need to stop bankrupting the kingdom of God, because that stuff is in the plan. It's going to go somewhere. We just need to figure out where we want it to go. Now, that does not give anybody a right to lie, cheat, manipulate. That's not what I'm saying. But guess what? The whole idea is that we squeeze the money, we shut down the kingdom. How do you shut down a church? Because you squeeze the money. The first thing you want to do when you get mad with a church is you stop paying your tithe. You stop off. I can't support that, because I'm not getting fed there any longer. But they still working. You do not say when you go and rent an apartment or you go and buy a home and then you want to go abroad for 6 months talking about, I'm not going to pay my mortgage because I was traveling for 6 months. You're going to pay your mortgage, because that's a contractual agreement. And so God is telling us we need to grow up and think differently. And I mean really think like adult people about his kingdom. This man is laboring to see to it that we have a peaceful planet, a peaceful environment. They work round the clock, and we keep squeezing what they get. We keep squeezing fences. We keep shrinking their resources. We just keep shrinking and shrinking. Why? To bind his hand. Because this is bigger than us. Even in the prophetic, it's bigger than us. In the apostolic, it's bigger than us. The kingdom is bigger than us. This kingdom is not just tied to planet Earth right now in this era. This kingdom is going to survive long after we're gone, and where we end up will determine what we'll do and how we handle it here. So I want to give everybody some encouragement. I don't care what you say. There is no way you're going to tell me that biblically God did not say that a laborer is worthy of his wages. And it's a shame that the world believes that more than the church. That is an indictment against us. The world is going to pay you. They have a whole governmental system, judicial system. They're going to pay you fair wages. And if they don't, in our country, you have a recourse. In our church, you don't. And if we're supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, we're going to have to change our view of what it is to be in charge of the kingdom's wealth and resources. We have to change our view. And we're going to have to collectively decide that we cannot trail behind the world we're hoping to redeem the Christ in ethics and in morals and integrity and fairness. We're going to have to decide whether we're going to be the head or the tail. We're going to have to decide whether we're going to be above or not beneath. We got to decide whether we're going to lead or we're going to be followed, or we're going to follow, or in our case, be drug along. That's a decision we have to make, or we're going to have to decide that we don't represent Jesus Christ. Because that's not him. Jesus is never going to abdicate. I know it's hard for people to believe that, but this man will never abdicate. I don't care what happened. He will never abdicate. He'll cut ties before he abdicates. He will never subject himself to a pantheon. He will never surrender to another God. He will never do it. If we're waiting for him to do it, I'm telling you, it's never going to happen. He is never going to do it. He doesn't have to, because everything that he would subject himself to, he's already done that. He subjected himself to the trials of all his creation. He subjected himself to the cross. He subjected himself to the humiliation. He's proven that he can be humble. He's proven he can be meek. But Paul said, we will know him thus no more. He will never, ever change. I'm telling you, he cannot change, because too much is riding on him staying the same. Jesus can't change, because all creation is riding on him staying the same. And I don't know who this is for, but for somebody out there, you're going to say that before this week is out, before this month is out, and that's only a little few more days, you're going to say that because I just answered something. See, half of that stuff we're talking about, Jesus is outdated, Scripture is old, Christianity is old. That is because those people have forgotten that God is before and not after. He's not trailing us. He is already done with what he's going to do. He can't change. Because when God changed, he wrote, prophecy is telling you when what happens when God changes. When God changes, the earth turns black. When God changes, the sun falls. When God changes, the moon doesn't give her light. When God changes, the weather patterns don't stay the same. When God changes, destruction happens. We need Jesus Christ to stay the same, to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because that extends our existence and our prosperity. So all of this here stuff that we've been buying into, there ain't nobody trying to do that but dealing with the unenlightened mind of the saints. You know, the Lord said a deceived heart has turned people away. He can't change. And what he said, he meant. And so we're going to have to decide who we are in this whole play, in this whole theater, this whole context of good and evil, light and dark. We have to decide who we are and where we stand in it. So, Ashley, as you can see, our prayers have been just going. Did you see me go there, girl?
I saw you going and going and going, and I was just saying my Lord to myself.
But you know we have to do that because people, you know, what bothers me about when you get religious in your rhetoric, because rhetoric just keeps talking. It doesn't care what it says. It doesn't weigh itself against life or whatever. Half of that stuff that we believe is not even playing out in life, but we've been blinded to its failures because we are so emotionally tied to its suggestions. I'll say suggestions. It's a suggestion. So the implications, we don't care. Jesus can't change. We have got to get that. If you don't get anything out of today's call, Jesus can't change. And when Jesus changed, we're at the end. He can't change. He cannot be, you can't even stun him. He cannot have a day that he doesn't know what happens. Because the day that he doesn't know what happens, in that moment that he says, I don't know, everything that's hooked on him in that moment stops and has no further purpose or use in the planet. Because it's up to him to know everything, every step of the way. That is why he is the king. And he had to work that out before he said, let there be and let us make. So he can't change. He can't go in there and say, you know what, I just hate that blue sky thing. I've been looking at a blue sky for, oh my God, I'm just done with blue, okay? Listen, I am sick of that sun being yellow. It is ridiculous. I'm tired of it. As a matter of fact, when he gets tired of the sun being yellow, it turns red and we in trouble.
Yeah.
This is a real, see, we have to start putting logic, wisdom, and real, real actual observations, you know, to what we say. We can't just keep saying, well, it doesn't matter. Well, God can do anything. I sometimes read Facebook and I think, oh, my God, these people don't think at all. They're just feeling one thought to the next. Yeah. Everybody, get up and shout. God said he's just going to do it all for everybody. How? How's that going to happen? How's that going to play out? So those of you who are thinkers with me, and listen, if you can say today, I'm getting ready to start my calls, but if you can say today, whoever you are, however many of you there are, if you can say today, that I am a thinker and that I like knowing that God is a thinker. I want you to go to my Facebook and I want you to tell me, Dr. Price, I join you today and say we need to think about what we're saying and think about how it's going to play out. Because that is what God is challenging us to do today in this call, that we would think about how this is going to play out. That we would think about what is supposed to happen. In other words, when we say God will do it, how do we know God's going to do it? How is he going to do it? Because I have yet to see this man bring any one of his words to pass beyond physical means. He still has to go through time and space. He has to go through the laws of nature. He has to go through the processes that he set in motion. Now, even if he did it, if he breaks it once, if he does it 2 million times, what will the planet look like? If God behaved the way we present, what will the planet look like? As it is, it's crazy. So I want you to join my thinkers club. Here's what I'm going to call it. God is a thinker club. Ashley, you know where that came from, don't you?
Yes, I do.
God is a thinker. Let's go. Let's see how many of us know God is a thinker. We need to start thinking instead of just feeling and saying. Let's think about this, because people are disillusioned because we thought, we said, and there was no way, no programmed, logical, whatever you want to call it, way for God to make it happen. There's no such thing as magic. I don't care how many people tell you it is. Those people work hours and hours to make you believe that 30-second delusion, that 30-second deception. There's science, there's logic, there's the laws of nature, there's the laws of whatever, but trust me, everything God does has got to go through a process, and it's got to work itself out. It has to come from invisible life to embodied flesh. And we have got to grow up in the King and know that that means that it's not enough for you to say that this messenger, well, God, I'm not going to be able to give you anything, but God's going to bless you. How's that going to happen? Somebody else is going to have to pick that up. So I'm having fun today. You know, actually, we've been having hot prayer all week long. So if you need prayer today, you definitely need to try to get on, because I am on fire. I'm charged up. I'm ready to go with God. And so, Ashley, you're going to give me a little bit of a break so I can catch my breath. And when I come back, we are starting calls.
Well, okay, Dr. Price, I do want to make this one announcement. Since you are telling people to post to your Facebook, when they go, they're going to see it look a little different today. Her Facebook is under construction. We're transitioning you to a fan page so that we're merging and re-uploading and doing all kinds of things. So when they go, they won't see what they saw earlier. But it is not what it will be. But you can still post. So we want to hear your thoughts and see your thoughts on the Facebook there. And we will be right back in just a few moments.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you fit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities. Scandal, deception, secret affairs, misappropriation of funds, nepotism, promotion without training or experience. Sound like Hollywood or perhaps Wall Street? Unfortunately, this has become more and more commonplace in the body of Christ. As a result, many people have lost faith in their leaders and no longer trust those put in place to watch over their spiritual growth. It's time for God's ministers to take back the ground that has been lost and provide qualified, competent, verifiable leadership that His people can rely on. So what is the first step to making this a reality? The answer is ministerial credentialing. Credentialing attests to the qualifications, competence, or authority that a person has in a particular field. Diplomas, degrees, certifications, and licenses are all a part of credentialing. Though credentialing programs exist for pastors, teachers, and evangelists, there is very little available to properly credential apostles and prophets. Until now. Dr. Paula Price, New Era Apostleship Restitution Council, and Kingdom Embassy University present CLOCK, our credentialing program that stands for Certification, Licensure, Ordination, and Commissioning. Whichever is appropriate for your calling or area of Kingdom service, we have a program for you. Get trained and receive a certificate of completion or achievement, a license to perform or function in a ministry capacity, ordination to a designated ministry office, or commissioning to discharge an advanced professional ministry post. Take the first step today by going to www.ppmglobalresources.com and taking a ministry assessment questionnaire to find out where you fit and what kind of training you need. Be a part of the solution and make sure you are a leader that God and His people can rely on. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today. Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. You will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions, as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today.
Okay, and we are back on the Paula Price Show this October 24th, 2013. It's a beautiful day here. I know some places already have snow, but it's clear skies here.
Isn't that good to know? And, you know, Ashley, before I take my call, I know that she might not be on the call, but I definitely want to send a shout-out happy birthday to my daughter in Joliet, Apostle Nona Parker. I realize that I'm a day late, but I am on time. I'm on God's time. I want to send a shout-out, and I just want to say, just on a whim today, I bless everybody whose birthday is in October. I bless you for new steps, new days, new ways, new breakthrough, end of the old, and definitely deliverance from every stagnating force that has held you back. So if this is your birthday month, just know I've issued you a prayer on this birthday. Expect great and mighty things in this month, October 2013. Okay, I'm ready, Ashley. You see, I'm charged, girl. I'm charged.
Wow, talk about divine timing, being born in the right month. Okay, we have on the line William from Louisiana. You have the South calling in today, Dr. Price. He's calling in because he would like a prayer for clear vision and divine direction. So, William, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, how are you?
I am great, William. How are you? Well, you have a great voice. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing quite well. I appreciate the blessing of the October babies. My birthday is on Tuesday.
Well, see, you're in it. Now, you know you couldn't have been on a call a better day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, how can I help you? First of all, William, what do you do for a living? I mean, I know you have to do something to use that wonderful voice.
Oh, actually, I am an administrator and an ATM specialist for a company that's called Lumis Corporation, and we provide currency and coin to different financial institutions and different organizations.
So now, do you do training?
Do I do training? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's all over you. You might have to ask. You sound like you do training, and you sound like you are very good at it. You're that kind of person that you're going to make sure they get it right just on GP.
Amen, yes.
Well, I tell you what, that's one of the things that God's going to do a lot with. He's going to do a lot with your voice and a lot with that training ability of yours. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Now, what do you want me to pray for, and what do you want us to talk about?
Yes, ma'am. I needed prayer for just clear vision and just divine directives for the next phase of my life and ministry. There are some things I'm sensing in reference to church planning and some things that I feel that God is going to grant me access to in the marketplace as far as ministry is concerned as well. And I just want to make sure that I'm really taking ordered steps and not being moved by emotion or, you know, all those different soulless sensings. But it's definitely the will of the Lord and the things that I'm going to be doing in this next phase.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question, but I want to ask you this. William, who are you? I mean, you don't give me a name, but are you connected with a mentor, an organization type or something right now?
I am. But I'm going to go to you guys' website and take a ministerial assessment. I'm going to do that. I haven't done that yet, so I am going to do that.
That's going to be great for you. Now, I'm telling you right now, I don't know how the assessment is going to turn out, but I do know that I'm not sure that church planting is what God wants. I'm hearing for you business planting and maybe business training more than church planting.
Wow.
I know. Never see. Sometimes we get a call. Now you remember how the exhortation I had at the beginning of the show today. Sometimes
yes.
We get a call, and our only response to it or reaction to it is what we know. But I hear God telling me that church is going to take you way off where you don't want to go. The difficulty that you're going to have, you're not going to want to pay that kind of a price. I hear you doing either planting churches, where you do training or coming up with some sort of training, a component that helps people enter business.
Wow.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
I don't really think you're going to do well planting churches. You might do well helping somebody plant churches, but your call is really training and it's really business. Now, whether that's today or whether that's 10 years from today, only God knows. I think it's more written more closer than you imagine. But don't get locked into the traditional thing that you see. Church planting is harder than you think it is, and today it's harder than it's ever been. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't if God tells us to do so. But if he isn't calling you to it, don't take on that burden.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's something I have been consulting God about in prayer in reference to strategy and just the implementation of that, because if that is the case, I don't want to do anything that has already been done. Because in some cases it's not working. So I've been, you know, really seeking God for wisdom and just for clear vision because I did feel that impression. But I definitely want to be in the will of the Lord.
Well, here's what I want to do. So I want us to just kind of work through this a little bit. You are definitely prophetic. As a matter of fact, you're very apostolic prophetic. That's great. That doesn't mean you're ready to jump out here tomorrow and get a card. I don't know that. You know, I could make statements on it, but then what would be the point? You're going to
yes, ma'am.
You know, I mean, you're going to do it. But you are a brilliant man. You are an educated man. You have a passion for enterprise and entrepreneurship. So you're not going to be content waiting for people to come to your church and grow up and all of that. Now, if somebody says to you, I want you to take over this church because I, you know, it's up, it's going, and I'm ready to hand it off, I could probably see you doing that. I don't see you surviving the early days of a church plant. I don't see you surviving it economically. I don't see you surviving the trials. I just think it's going to be harder for you than you imagine because of how God has brought you along in his kingdom.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? And so God has never really let you know that it's okay for you to be unemployed.
Absolutely not.
That's not you. You won't survive it. Because God wants you to cultivate skills and talents and abilities to finance his kingdom. And so if I had to give you any counsel today, my counsel to you would be that you need to connect with some sort of kingdom business organization. And you also need to supplement that connection with training and finances. I don't, you know, we could talk about it once you get in your advisor after you get the assessment. I'm sure your advisor will help you make some decisions. But my thought to you is that you need, and your fear is business and entrepreneurship. You're going to do well in that. Now, you could come up pastoral, but if it comes up pastoral, it's only going to come up for because of the training element, that developmental piece that you have.
Yes, ma'am.
So does that make sense to you, William Powell? Do you understand where I'm telling you that you're headed?
Absolutely. Understood.
You have the capacity to learn quickly. You process information very fast. You can definitely transfer what you learn rather effectively. But you have a money making, a revenue generating chip that has not yet been developed. So you don't know how much God has blessed you just because of your family tree.
Wow. Wow. You
got a lot in your family tree that you're supposed to harvest.
Yeah. Wow.
Why are you chuckling?
Because that's just absolutely correct. I mean, that's just correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Your family tree is one of those who are supposed to be prosperity guardians of the future. So you're supposed
wow.
to help a lot of people get established in the prosperity of the future. So for you to be, you know, see, I think that a lot of people end up going into church simply because that's all we know when God says, you're going to build my work or you're going to feed my sheep. But you realize the sheep eat more than church.
Absolutely.
They eat from many, many folds. So you are going to go back and sit down with God, and these are some of the things that you're going to pray. And fortunately, this is recorded, so you'll be able to come back and re-listen to it again and again and again and again. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to, I don't know the organization that you're connected with. I'm going to conclude that it's somewhat apostolic because it should be. And so, but you need to be connected with a strong apostolic organization. It needs to be more slanted towards business and enterprise than just the local church, not taking you out of church. I'd never tell anybody to cut church ties because that just is not the Lord. But then after that, whatever kind of business and finance organizations in your community, you need to connect with that. And the last thing I'd like to see you do, even if you just do it online, I'd love to see you take some more finance classes. Now, I think the job that you're in gave you a lot of them, but they haven't given you the ones for the entrepreneur side of you.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. You're absolutely right.
So I would like to see you do that. And then from there, the vision that God really has for you will be born.
Yes.
Okay. Now, are you a part of an apostolic organization as yet?
I am a part of an apostolic organization. I just recently did the change in the connection over the past year.
Great. That was a God move for you. And so, but you have a destiny, a family destiny that's down in your genetic line. And God is genuinely tugging you because of that. There are things that were begun by your foreparents. I want to say a father or a grandfather, but there are things that were done by your foreparents that got interrupted. They got aborted because of time and culture and era. But you are being, I don't have to be in your life to know that your dreams have got to be plaguing you like crazy because God is awakening these things that were dormant in the ground of your land. I see the earth, I see the dirt, and I see all of these seeds that were sown in tears by your foreparents, by previous generations. But I hear God saying, I'm telling you, don't allow the enemy to short-circuit what I want to finish. Now, do you have any children, William?
No, ma'am. I'm a single guy with no children, and I'm free for right now.
You're going to have an amazing son. Just remember I told you that, because this thing has to travel down the line and be finished. And so you're going to have an amazing son. Trust me on this word. And this, so what you set up, it's going to be like you and David and Solomon, you know?
Wow.
You've got to set
this
up to pass it on. You have a great legacy in the earth and a great inheritance that God wants to do, a heritage that God wants to finish. So I will be very interested to see how God brings all of this around for you. But I'm telling you, you're going to have a great son, and you're going to have to do this that you can pass it on. And make sure when your son is born and as your son grows that you impart identity and destiny and responsibility for the destiny of your line in the future in your son. Just remember I said that.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so now, listen, you got quite a bit, so I'm going to pray unless you have another question or comment.
That is it. You have overloaded me today.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I'm very different is because I am an apostle, so I'm a very prophetic apostle, but I am an apostle, and we, sometimes God just opens up the page and gives me the blueprint and the roadmap for a person's life. Sometimes I just get a word, and sometimes I get the whole thing. You are obviously right at the cusp of destiny, and God wants to make sure that you understand what he's doing with you going forward.
Praise God. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for William. I thank you, first of all, for his family, his genetic line, and his family tree. I thank you, God, that you will right now begin to right those wrongs through his obedience, right the wrongs and the injustices that were done in his family lineage, God. I thank you for really answering the prayer of the father who sowed in tears, or the grandfather, God, that sowed in tears. And, Lord, that he may know that he left this planet knowing that he left things for this generation. So I thank you for the ground that being full of purpose and mushrooming the seeds of promise into this man's life. I'm asking you, Lord, that you take him by the hand, guide him by the hand, guide his footsteps, and enable him to move forward into purpose and into destiny in a richer way, in a fuller way. And then, Father God, I'm asking that you begin to give him the witty inventions, the ideas, the strategies, the methods and approaches he needs to fulfill this thing, to take that very, very old and dormant vision and to bring it forward and refurbish it for this generation and for the ages to come. I bless you in Jesus' name and release you to full divine purpose from this day forward. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
You are more than welcome. God bless you. Stay in touch.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet?
Yes. Well, that was energetic and exciting.
Told you I was charged. Did I not warn you?
Yeah. Yes, and what a wonderful warning to have.
Ha ha! And I'm charged. So all of you all are waiting to talk to me. I am charged. I am so invigorated by the Holy Ghost.
Well, they should be excited, and yeah, they're lined up. Hallelujah! All right, well,
I'm ready.
Ready for your next caller?
Yes.
Well, since we were already in Louisiana, let's just stay in Louisiana. We have next on the line from Louisiana, Stacy. And she is calling because she would like prayer and advice on moving. Stacy, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you, Prophet. How are you doing, Dr. Price?
I am fine, Stacy. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Now, is this your first call, Stacy?
No, and that's what I was going to explain to you. I called about a month ago. I'm the one with the dance studio, and you gave me advice about considering going back to school for business or maybe getting a business partner. And
yes.
Just recently I've been looking into it, and I found a school that I wanted to attend out of town. And I just wanted to get some insight and some advice about that. Basically why I've been hesitant about it is because I already have student loans that are pretty much giving me some issues right now. I can't move forward in some other areas in my life because of the student loans. So that's why I was kind of, like, wary about maybe going back to studio. Right now I just have three students. It's not really thriving, and it's kind of disheartening right now. I wanted to use it as another avenue to gain more revenue because I am an administrative assistant, but it's just not spanning out for me right now. So,
well, that's understandable. Did you also investigate working with someone else or working for a larger, more successful dance studio to kind of clear your plate and maybe to get your footing in this?
No, I didn't consider that.
Now, what is your degree in? Because you told me, and I don't have it, obviously, you know, I don't remember, but I did know you called me before you said that.
Yes.
But what is your degree in again?
I have a BA in communications and an MA in dance.
Okay, BA, because I remember it was something unique like that, and an MA in dance. Now, here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if you can't render your gifts for a season as a helpful to someone else, or maybe you can find a way that you can offer your dance as some sort of treatment or therapy in your community and get some grants for it.
Okay. I guess I can look into that. So I don't have to have, like, a nonprofit status or anything like that.
You probably do, but you would have to find out who can give you such counsel in the in your community, because that's not necessarily my area of expertise. I do know that there are a ton of people on LinkedIn who can do that. And I'm sure there are people in your community who can do it. But what I want you to know is that whenever God is squeezing us, it's because there is either a bigger way for us to look at our vision, an alternate way to look at our vision, or that He wants to cause us to rethink how we're carrying out a vision. See, I don't think, Stacey, that you miss God. I really don't. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I were going home, then if you were my last caller on this planet, I would leave this planet saying, I don't think you miss God. What I do think is that, again, we tend to be very traditional or very conditional in our response to God's ideas and his calling.
Okay?
So, and because we are traditional, it's always we treat things as a ministry, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But because we treat things as a ministry, we think we have to go it alone, or we think that there's something wrong with us, you know, connecting with someone else or aligning ourselves with someone who's doing it. See, I think that your idea was a great idea. I do believe in the bottom of my heart, I am convinced that you needed to have gone through some sort of internship or partnership with someone before you went alone, so that you could learn the ropes. Understand, not even just that you may know the knowledge, but there's an exposure to the unseen forces that in the those intangible opposition and resistance that you don't know about. You need to learn all of the players in that field, not just the physical ones, not just the obvious ones, not just the technical ones. And I believe that is what you need. You shouldn't give up hope, because I don't really think that that's what God is wanting. So there may be a music school there that can use your talents. There may be a dance school that can use it. But I do think you need to have a cushion where you can explore yourself 100% and then also gain some much-needed experience and familiarity with the intangible opposition that goes with starting anything new.
Okay. Can I say that another reason why I was just ready to just leave it alone is because I'm not really passionate about it anymore. I feel like I want to go in another path. Well, not so much be away from dance in general, but I just want to – I feel like I need to be refreshed. I need to be renewed and revived, and I would like to move away from Louisiana. And that's why I started looking into the opportunities to get another degree, because I figured that would be a good way to segue outside of the city or outside of the state. It could be the situation that I'm in right now that's making me not be happy about teaching anymore, but I'm just ready to leave.
Well, you know, I mean, if you feel like you want to leave the area, your life is not going to fall apart if you leave. I do want to ask you, when you first got on the call, what is it about family and friend connections that's holding you there?
Well, all my family is in Louisiana. And basically, like, when I talk about leaving, you know, nobody really wants me to leave. But I'm pretty much – well, no, I've left twice. to go to school. I left to go to New York to go to school, and then I left to go to Texas to go to school. But I've always come back. So this is the longest I've been back for a while, and I'm just ready to leave again.
Well, see, because I just want to think about if you decide to leave, that is fine. But understand, when you leave and go to another place, it's different going to school as opposed to relocating as a resident of a different state. Whole set of rules. Everything is different. Make sure that you've set yourself up well. Make sure that you're emotionally charged and fortified to deal with the resistance, because you're going to deal with the resistance because it's foreign. It's nothing to do with people liking you or disliking you. It's just new. Your presence isn't in the land. Your spirit isn't in the land. You don't even know the rules or the ropes of the land. And see, what going to do it in school, that school is handling all of that for you. You're just going there to attend classes. But if you're talking about going someplace to stay permanently, make sure that you are set up. Because, see, to have a failing business in your home state and in your home city where family is one experience. To have a failing business in a foreign land is an entirely different experience.
Okay.
And I just want you to be aware of that. And also ask yourself, is it, you know, and you pretty much said it, are you feeling just so dejected and disappointed that I just want out? Is your answer to whenever things don't work out to leave? Because if that's the case, then relocation is not the issue you're facing right now. It's your ability to overcome disappointment.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just that, Dr. Price. It seems like everything I try to attempt to do, just like I have a degree in communications, I've been trying to get into media and maybe be a host full-time, and none of that has panned out for me. And I think it's just because everything is not opening up for me. I feel like maybe if I move somewhere else, then I'll have a fresh start.
Hmm? Well, hey, that's a possibility. I don't feel that it's a plus or minus for you either way. I really don't. I feel that whichever way you want to do it, but the bottom line is that you're still going to have to put out the effort and the time that you're going to put out. You're still going to need the same endurance. It's not going to change just because you have a different address. And if you don't relocate to a place where you have connections, it's going to be harder. And we don't often give that kind of counsel to the body of Christ. You know, I would love to, and I won't, because I'm not going to even lie and say that. Historically, we would say, yeah, well, you know, God is with you, have faith, launch out in the deep and all of that. That is true, but God said count the cost. Jesus said count the cost. Make sure you can finish what you start. So I'm not going to give you this rash, hey, go at it, God is going to be with you. Yes, he is, but that doesn't mean being with you means making your path easy.
Okay.
So just make sure, I don't want to make this decision. I'm going to pray. My prayer for you is that you're going to do okay. I mean, that's just who you are in this life. You are going to do okay. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be prepared to fend off all of those things that just come along the way, that life happening by yourself. So make sure you have connections where you want to go. If you're going just for school, if they let you in and enroll you in school for another degree, there is nothing wrong with that. But just understand there is no magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
When it's all said and done, life is full of upsets, setbacks, setups, and then, you know what I'm saying, and failures. It's flawed. It does that. Why? Because God is building in us. And I don't want to be the one on this phone. Something is going to check in my spirit. I don't want to be the one on this phone saying, yay, yay, go after it. It's going to be great. I got to check in my spirit. Don't know what that check is about. But I want you to make your decision based on your conviction. I know I can make a go of it. Not I hope I can make a go of it. I know. I have emphatically heard from God. Because if you don't know, then wait until it is solid as a rock in your soul. Now, I could prophesy to you, and it still won't matter because you have had too many hits and too many bruises. You and God need a reacquainting. If I had to give you any advice, my advice to you would be to have some sort of retreat with you and God.
Okay.
That's what you need. You've just had too many hits. It's been too hard, the disappointments, all of that. I've lived it. I understand. But I'm telling you, that's not always the time to make a life-changing decision. I would rather see you take and say, okay, I have a friend in so-and-so, or I have a friend over here. I'm going to spend a week here, a month there, whatever you can spare in your, I know you have a job, but whatever you can spare, you need time alone with the Lord. Because you have many things you need him to tell you. You have questions that you need him to answer. You have revelations that he's been trying to bounce off of you, but you're so busy trying to survive that you're not able to hear it. If there is a place in your area where, you know, a nice Christian place or retreat, or if you have a ministry that you can go to and just shut in and pray and hear God, before you do this, I really feel in my gut that that's what you need.
I agree.
So let's not make life decisions right now. You need to be restored, and you need to be revived, and you need to know that your Father is with you and that God is not against you, that he is for you, but you need to understand where you and he are at odds right now.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any such place in your area?
No, but I will say this. A mentor of mine, she travels a lot. She was going to Guadeloupe for a week, and she asked me if I wanted to go, and she would buy my ticket. I mean, that might be an opportunity for me to just get away for a week.
You should go.
Okay.
You should go. And then when you come back, you'll have a clear perspective on what it is that God wants. I don't believe God wants you to leave home right now broken and defeated. I just can't get that in my spirit. That's my, you know, and it may be another prophet to tell you something different. You can talk to your mentor, let your mentor hear this call and see what your mentor thinks. But I'm just thinking right now, before you leap out of the frying pan into the fire, let's make sure that you're good and coated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're
okay.
Going to go on the trip.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Yes, I'm going to go.
Okay. And then I'm going to pray for your soul to be refreshed and healed and for God to do the work that he wants to do in your life, because you are not a failure. It's not going to last. You are so not going to be in this place, even in you know, a few months. It's going to be so different. I want to say right now, 6 weeks is going to change everything for you. But usually we are always most broken, most shattered, and most defeated the day before God is getting ready to give us our change. And I use the day, you know, theoretically, obviously, you know that. But we're always most defeated just before God is getting ready to give us our change or we're turning the corner.
Okay. Thank
so
you.
I feel good about your life. I genuinely feel good about what God has planned for you, and he just wants you to be at peace. So, Father, I thank you for Stacy. I'm asking you, God, to minister to her soul. As you minister, God, remind her of what it was that got you two together in the first place, what it was that got you started on this path and journey in the first place. God, I'm asking that you would touch her, that you would remind her of who she is in you and what it is that caused you two to connect to the point that she loves you as deeply as she does today. Now I'm asking that you would cause this trip to be revelational for her, for it to be inspirational, and Lord, that it would revive her, that she would be revived in her soul and in her spirit. Give her fresh vision, even as she's flying in the plane, give her fresh vision, God, so that she can really begin to know what is going on with you and her. I thank you that as she leaves her own airspace, you begin to minister to her and to take her into those visions that she's forgotten and those revelations and instructions that she has overlooked over time and that have gotten layered under the attempts, the efforts, and the striving to make it work. And God, if it is your will for her to leave, let her know before she gets back home on the ground that it is your will. And if not, then let her come home and meet a new day. Either way, God, we want her to meet her new day. And we bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
You are very welcome. Now, listen, let me know when you come back how it turned out. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Is God a sugar pie boy? He's just a sugar pie God, isn't he?
He is.
He's a sweet man, and he's a good father, you know. And Ashley, you and I both know we've lived that. Okay, God, we've done this, we've done that, we've done Hey God, we've done it all. We just turned in our membership to the We've Done It All Club.
That's right.
Now what more does it take? And so I would just have to say that for those who are trying, let's know that God is doing some awesome things in this hour. And because he's doing some awesome things in this hour, what I would like to say is to tell everybody, don't throw in the towel just yet. Now, do I have my chief prophet on the phone? I think I had her on. Is she on, Ashley?
Yeah. I know she was wheeling and doing some other things. Yes, she is on the line. Let me open her up here. There we go. Chief.
Hi, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. You didn't think I'd ever call you, did you? I just call on you, and you got to be ready in my world. We're going to take a quick call, Tyler, but I just feel like I want you to share a little bit about the apostolic prophet to somebody out there. I feel like that has to happen. I'm going to give you just about 5 or 6 minutes to do so. How's that?
Sure. Of course.
And talk about, because that's what you are, talk about how you found it out and what it means to you and how it solidified your prophetic ministry.
Okay. Being raised up with you as a prophet and training and development and all of those things, went through the typical experiences of trying to figure out, A, what that meant. I can't say that I was ever a person who didn't know that I would be a prophet, since I was, you know, informed of that very young. But, of course, getting into the process of, you know, doing that, submitting to that, being trained as that, went through the typical wrestles that most prophets go through in trying to discover who they are and what their gifting is about, why they have it, what it's for, and all of those great things. Initially, I just thought I was going to be a prophet, and at that time when we first started getting trained and developed, didn't really know that there were all these different types like that. I was aware, that, of course, of, you know, there being a chief prophet, thinking that, okay, that's the person who kind of administrates and supervises and organizes other prophets and their activities, so that was understood. But as you began to develop the assessments and we began to really fine point this thing called the prophetic and bringing it into that place of specificity, we discovered that, you know, that the way that the different prophets manifested is unique, you know. And so it was very good for us to have, you know, be raised up under you, to have an opportunity to take an assessment and to get counsel on exactly why we were manifesting certain ways and differently from one another in the company during our training experience as prophets. And so in doing so, I came up as an apostolic prophet, and I really wasn't sure what that was, but I can say, based on the definition and my understanding of it now, that was something that was definitely, I was definitely groomed or prepared for by God as a child, not realizing it. Had very apocalyptic dreams, had dreams about a lot of catalytic events that would take place in the future. By nature, always ended up in some sort of supervisory administrative role, ended up having to lead and I could say lead, shepherd, and train prophets, you know, in the process, and found out in doing so that I worked well, more so apostolically than just as a prophet prophetically, in terms of being up in terms of some of the other types that are out there. And so that was a very interesting process for me, because I didn't know why I naturally did all of those things, and having those types, and this is me making a plug for the assessments as well, having those types is very important, because you do need to understand what your spirit is, and you do need to know why you function and operate differently. Well, fast forwarding to the future, not only did I have all of those attributes that go along with being an apostolic prophet, very apocalyptic, of course, ending up doing a lot of governmental type things, administrative type things, supervisory type things, I fell into training apostles and getting them ready for their development. And in the process of doing so, through our company, PPM Global Resources, those that were on those programs, and doing so, I had an apostle ask me, well, how do you know that you're not an apostle? I thought, that's a very good question. And at the time, it did send me on a deeper exploration, rather, as to why I wasn't an apostle, even though I worked well with them, I was training them, I was raised under one, and had a lot of apostolic attributes. And so it, that question kind of prompted me to begin to explore this. And then, of course, you know, the standardized ministry assessments helped me a lot in developing what that is. But beyond being the assessments identifying it, coming up with those nuances that do let you know what the difference is between apostles and prophets. And so as an apostolic prophet, you are one that works well with apostles. You possess a lot of apostolic attributes. You obviously can be paired with them in terms of connecting with that the building aspect of them, the judicial and governmental aspect of them, and the legislative aspect of who they are. You can connect with those things, but by the same token, you don't necessarily operate it the way that they do. And there's some distinct differences between how apostles operate and function and prophets operate and function. Just even as a basic example, and I know we only have a few minutes, so I'll just close it out on this thought. But just as a basic example, how we both even receive revelation and information from the spirit realm. You know, we talked about that a little bit at the Chicagoland Summit about how prophets will get prophecy, you know, and can see the future, pick up revelation from a predictive standpoint. But when it comes to getting revelation from the ability to structure it, order it, and place it into its time and space and slot, and even how it's going to manifest itself in terms of its operation and function, prophets kind of fall short of that, and that's kind of where apostles begin to pick up in terms of their revelation and their insight and their mysteries. And so what I like about the apostolic prophet and your training and teaching on it is that it does help a lot of prophets who walk very closely in that fine line in terms of working well with apostles and demonstrating a lot of attributes of apostleship, not accidentally be pushed into that office and lack some of the other dimensions of being apostle in terms of their faculties, their ordained, you know, divine faculties and abilities, lacking those things and not being able to perform on that level. We're not going to talk about the warfare, that course, that as well. But in terms of being an apostolic prophet, those are the things that I would say kind of today in terms of what it means to be that and why it's important to have that, have those distinctions and what types of prophets we are and what dimensions we walk in terms of our ministerial operations, faculties, abilities, and functions.
Well, I think that considering the pressure that I put you under and did not give you much warning, I think you gave a pretty good explanation. The reason I did that is because for some reason God has it on my mind that he wants some prophets to really get what's going on in their lives, and he also wants them to understand, I don't know who it is, somebody who is about to be ordained an apostle or elevated to an apostle, and you're not, you really are an apostolic prophet, you don't feel comfortable about it, something in your soul is kind of icky about it, but hey, who are you to say? And many times God will just break into the norm or the routine of something to share his mind on it, spare somebody the hardship or the backlash of erroneous decisions or actions. And because this thing is so new, the dimension of it is so new, that we yet have to have been able to corral it enough for it to begin to make a single statement. So whoever you are, and you may not be on the call today, you might be someone who listens later, but whoever you are, don't allow them to rush you into that, because you won't survive that office. And the reason you won't survive it is because the dimension of weight and the intensity of warfare will be beyond what you can dream. You know, we look at the apostles' trials in the scripture, and we have all of these people telling us, yeah, well, that's them. It won't happen today. No, it's the same seven angels over the churches, and they have the same mandate they've always had. They don't change just because we change, because our generation changed, because we discovered light, because we split the atom, you know, because we now have technology and satellites in the heavens. They don't change. They had that before we even got on the planet. So that is not a good reason. So whoever you are, do not allow yourself to be rushed, because the Spirit of God is diligent, and the forces of God are diligent, and the forces of darkness are diligent. They're going to do their job, even if we don't know or we don't understand it. So don't allow them to rush you into that office prematurely or if it is not for you. Now, whoever you are, just take that as the word of the Lord. I issued it. I've done my part. Now it's on you. So thank you a lot, Prophet Tyler. Hey, Prophet Ashley.
Yes.
Wasn't that wonderful?
That was good. That was juicy. That was meaty.
Do you want to talk about in the classroom?
I can talk about in the classroom, and then I also want to have Prophet Adia give her daily announcement for what the listeners need to do after the show. But this is Thursday, and every Thursday we have an in the classroom, which is a specially selected teaching that Dr. Price has done with different themes. This theme for today is talking about Jesus Christ. It's scary to realize how long we can be saved and not really know much about Jesus Christ, specifically what he did before he became flesh. And that's what Dr. Price highlights in his teaching. It is a video teaching, and you'll see her slides. You'll see her. She taught this class. It was a powerful teaching called the Jesus Classes. And this is one portion that you do not want to miss, especially if you are a prophet. I think it is very important for prophets prophesying to understand the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, who he was, who he will be, all of him, because that's our job, is to communicate that. So go to www.drpaulaprice.com, and you can click on the class information. You can also see previous classes that we have hosted. For the most part, they are still there and still available for you. If you want healing, building your soul of success, if you want training on apostleship, training on the prophetic, people ask Dr. Price all the time, I just want a class on this and I want a class on that. Hey, you can go online to her website and get those classes till your heart is content. Right now, you don't have to be enrolled in her school to receive these classes. They are a gift to her that she has offered. Now, when I say gift, I don't mean free. I just mean outside of the university, so that they are available to you to register, to pay for, and to view that class, take those notes, and get your education on. Now, we also have Prophet Adia on the line, who is going to tell us what we need to do with all this amazing information that we've learned. Prophet Adia.
Prophet Ashley, good afternoon, and good afternoon, Paula Price Show family. We want you to know how you can connect with Dr. Price and continue to plug into all this wisdom all week long. If you want to catch a Paula Price Show episode that you might have missed, or if you want to go back and listen to today, then you want to catch us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, or you can just go to drpaulaprice.com and you can catch the little video of all the Paula Price shows on drpaulaprice.com as well. We want you to stay connected and make sure that you don't miss a minute. If you haven't started following Dr. Price on Twitter yet, why not? Go to twitter.com. You want to follow her at Dr. Paula Price. You can do hashtag Paula Price Show to talk about all things Paula Price Show related. If you're joining the God is a Thinker Club, then you want to like Dr. Price on Facebook and let her know that you are part of the God is a Thinker Club. Prophet Ashley, we're already looking at all of the God is a Thinkers out there. We want you to make sure that you join that family with us. So hit Dr. Price up on Facebook. You just want to click like, and then you'll get to see all her posts. You'll get to post yourself on her page and catch all of the announcements. If you are a businessman or woman, then we want you to connect with Dr. Price on LinkedIn, www.linkedin.com. You can look up Dr. Paula Price. You're going to get all the info on how she does her assessments, tips for groups and organizations, and all things business related. And so there's lots of ways that you can connect with Dr. Price online. We just want you to know that we want to reach out to you all week long. So don't stop after the Paula Price show. Sorry, don't stop after the Paula Price show, but catch us online all week long. Back to you, Prophet Ashley.
We're always busy. We're always doing something, and we're always reaching out. And speaking of reaching out, Dr. Price, are you ready for your next listener?
Almost. So, Ashley, did I just hear her say we already have people who responded to the God is a Thinker post?
Yes, on your Facebook, we have people talking about sign me up.
I want that. See, those people I want in my circle, and I want you to know I genuinely want you in my circle, because when we start having those calls and group calls, we're going to talk about God being a thinker and how we're going to get that thing across to the body of Christ. So if you've not done it, I want you to do it. Post and say, I want to be a part of Dr. Price's God is a Thinker circle, because we have got to change this thing so that we can start having him make sense. So don't forget, I just actually, I was so encouraged that we had people that were responding and want you to still, even when it's over, still respond. When you listen to it later, and invite your friends. If you're one of those people, you and your friend, you get on the phone and you have these really deep, profound conversations about the Lord that make sense, hey, tell them, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Because she says eventually she's going to have a webinar. We're going to get on the phone and we're going to talk about God being a thinker. Now, I can't tell you the day or time, but listen, let's see how many of us there are out there. We can make a statement. God is not crazy. He's a thinker. All right, Ashley, I'm ready.
Well, there's a statement. God is not crazy. He's a thinker. All right. And we are still coming from the South today. We have... yes, we have Nestrick. He is calling from Mississippi, and he has actually been diagnosed with a rare blood disease that has led to kidney disease. And so he is calling for some prayer today. Nestrick, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello.
Hello, Nestrick. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's Destrick with a D.
Destrick. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I got it right. Got to get the name right. So you have got an evil report, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Back in February, I was diagnosed with amyloidosis. It's a rare blood disease that they say is no cure for, but I know God says otherwise. And since then, of course, it actually caused me to have end-stage renal failure, have an enlarged liver. Actually, this weekend I'll be traveling to Boston, Massachusetts. They have an amyloidosis center at Boston University, and they're going to be running a lot of tests and to see if I will have to have a bone marrow transplant. So just dealing with all of that right now.
That's a lot. Now, what will a bone marrow transplant do if it's no cure for it?
Bone marrow transplant, they said it's where the abnormal protein is coming from the bone marrow. It actually is in my body. My body is not breaking down that protein, so that's what actually make it attached to my organs, causing me to have organ failure. So if they go in and do the bone marrow transplant, then they say it'll cause me to have a healthy protein levels to where the protein won't be attacking my organs like they are now. Right now, they're abnormal.
Okay, well, let's get into it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, first of all, God, we praise you and bless you for being our healer. Now, Lord, when we were in prayer yesterday morning, you summoned healing over and over again. You said it repeatedly. And so we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to see that word manifested in Destrick's situation today. Now, God, we don't care about what the devil say. We don't care about cause, root, or anything. All we know is that you're the God of mercy. And, God, I thank you that because of your mercy, you will purge this man's blood. You will cleanse his body. You will cause his organs to come back to normal. Now, Lord, I thank you for doing it by your spirit. But however way you do it, we say, let this man be healed. I cast out disease. I command the assignment and contract of infirmity on you to be null and void. We turn it around for you today in Jesus' name. Now, I speak to you, blood, and I speak to your assignment in his body, which is to keep him healed, to keep him healthy and whole. I command you to purge yourself. I set you in divine order and in divine activity to purge him from this day forward. Now, God, have mercy on your child and cause him to be healed and not suffer. I say to every organ, do your job. I say to every organ, do your job in Jesus' name. And we bless you for it, Father. Ikorobosha. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you, sir. You're very, very welcome. We definitely want to hear from you again, and we know we're going to hear from you for a lot of years to come. So, and we will put you on our prayer list and have one of our intercessors continue to hold you up.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
God bless you.
Amen. Woo. Okay, yes, it is. Could you know, do you remember prayer yesterday morning?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And God was moving on some healing.
He was. He was talking healing, healing, healing. He must have said it, I don't know, 10, 12 times. I said, okay, so you are really sending healing from the throne, from the heavens into the earth. So I thank God for that. You know, it was so wonderful how he prepared us for it.
Yes,
and
I tell you what, anybody who needed prayer for healing, I hope they jumped on that because you were moving some power there.
Oh, yes, because I'm committed. And you know we're going to have our prayer team pray on that. You remember, we don't just pray, honey. We send the prayers out and then give them the tape. Remember the guy who was on death's door, sent him a tape?
Yes,
he prayed that thing every day. He's on the planet today, nice and happy and healthy and round.
Yeah, well, yes, and he was a very, he had that death lean on him where you're just so thin and life is trying to leave your body every single day, and that is not the case today by any stretch of the imagination. So we know the power of prayer and the power of playing it over and over and over again.
So we definitely will do that. We'll have to put our little battle axe on that one, huh?
Yes. Get out the reinforcements.
Hey, but you know what? Because we often have to realize that you get to hear that again and again. I want Dexter to download this on his computer and hear it again and again and again. Put it on his phone so that no matter what, it's just going to talk to him because life will overcome death every single time. So that's our word on that matter. Now, listen, Ashley, I want to get another call. But before I do, I want to take a moment to invite all of you all who are listening. If you've not registered yet, you haven't gotten your ticket yet, I want to invite you to my Apostolic Summit in November. Now, I'm excited about this one. I especially want you to come. We have been getting amazing words from God on in prayer, on healing, on gathering his forces, marshaling his army, and getting us ready to do business for him. God has promised me, and I know it's true. I've not had it happen to me before. Now, I know a lot of people can say that I haven't, but he has promised me that this particular summit will strike the match from heaven, and he's going to open up apostleship, open up the prophetic, and get his church back on course. You want to be here. You want to be here. I don't care what you have to do. You want to be here. Don't let apathy and don't let frustration exempt you from the fire of God that's going to fall at this event. Do not let that happen. You have stood on the line. Some of you have been holding on for 3, 4, 5 years. Somebody out there said, Lord, I've been standing for 7 years. Now, 7 is the number of completion. I need you to tell me, God, that this is done, that I need a sign. Let me tell you, this is a sign. Don't miss it. It's going to be here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's going to be November 21st through the 24th. We start on Wednesday night. For those of you who want to get that first fruits oil and blessing, you want that first fruits anointing, you want to get here Wednesday night because God will baptize you for the event. Now, I have never, ever felt this particular fire and drive on this thing, but I'm telling you, all of you who are listening today, don't even think about what happened. Don't think about all of the things that didn't work. Don't think about all of the things that should have, would have, could have. I want you to just cut off the path and say, you know what, God? this is it. I'm laying down the gauntlet. I'm going to press my way. I expect to meet me, and God, I expect to come back with my questions answered and my soul changed and my life empowered, because there is a fire that he has promised us, and we've been praying every morning to that end, that he has promised a fire of renewing, of revival, of pressing forward. So whoever you are that are wondering, should I do it? And several of you, many of you, frankly, I want you to do it. I want you to go to drpaulaprice.com and say, first thing I'm going to do is register. And then after you register, you're going to go to some sites. They're supposed to be putting some sites up on my website where you can get economical tickets. The accommodations are there. You want to call that hotel, reserve your room. But don't let this wind and this flame pass you by. Now, I know somebody, you're fighting with depression, press your way. Some of you are like, I don't have any money. I don't even know. Uh-uh. Go make it happen. Treat it like this is an emergency that you cannot ignore, and because it is. And go and create that money. Get it. Don't miss this window. November 21st. To the 24th, you want to be here for Wednesday night's baptism and orientation. But I'm telling you, if you are an apostle and you're like, well, God, I don't know, I've done everything, I cannot tell you how many apostles I've met over the last 2 years. I'm 30 seconds from quitting. I'm dried up. I'm beat out. I'm empty. I can't take another battle. I don't want another hit. I'm out. I mean, you need to make this your last-ditch effort. If it's going to be your swan song, you need to turn your swan wings into eagle's wings so God can lift you up. Get on their website and say, I'm doing this. Now, I have not ever pushed like this, but I'm telling you, in my soul, there is something that God wants, and he has instructed me to urge you with the utmost of fervor to make your way here November 21st. Put whatever you need to put on hold. Buy one less Christmas gift. Eat a little less turkey. You know, plan your Thanksgiving with someone else. Unify with someone else. But make your way here. It will be worth it. If you are in driving distance, get yourself a team and say, hey, we're going to drive in. People are already driving in. They have groups driving in. But this time, and I'm going to keep doing it because I know in my heart of hearts, this one here is the yoke-breaking one, and you want to be here for your yoke to be destroyed by this anointing. So, again, here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Apostolic Summit, November 21st through the 24th. Okay, Ashley, I did that. I'm ready for a call.
Wow. And amen. Okay.
Amen. Did I tell you I was charged? You probably didn't hear me say that. Let me just say it again because you probably didn't hear it.
Your charge. We are on the line now with Carolyn from Kansas. And, Carolyn, your line is live, and she's moving out of the state and wants to know what is best for her life, what is God saying about her life, what does she need to know about this move. So, Carolyn, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you so much. Hello, Dr. Price.
Hi, Carolyn. How are things in Kansas?
Ooh, they're okay. I was relocated here about 10 years ago. This is a place I really don't want to be. I've discovered a lot of rejection since being here. But my reason for calling is I really want to succeed rather than survive. A friend of mine told me about you about a week ago, and I've been listening to a lot of things and have learned a lot of things about myself. It wasn't an enemy. It was myself. Being born through a wound of rejection, now I understand now why I have been rejected a lot through marriages, through different jobs, even since I've been here. A company relocated me here. Then I lost that job, another job, and then now I'm unemployed. Since listening to you, though, even in my dreams at night, dreams, they're so much better because I do dream every night. But I just have so much. I just really have so much going on. So I just want God's plan for my life and to know what to do, how to go about it. I really, really do. I'm just at a crossroads, and I need prayer.
Well, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, the greatest battle we have when we find out that there is a plausible, I'm going to use the word plausible, a plausible reason for us to keep circling a particular battle or a particular calamity, that we have to be very careful that we don't begin to buy into it to the point that we are authorizing it.
Okay.
Okay, because sometimes we can read so much up on our symptoms and so much about our causes of this and causes of that, that we eventually begin to take ownership of them, and we buy into them. And when we do, we authorize it. Now,
okay.
you right now, as far as whether you leave or stay in Kansas, you do need to go to Kansas. I mean, leave Kansas. I'm not even going to kid you. You do need
Thank
to leave
Jesus.
There. Okay? Your time there is up. And even when you were relocated there, you had strong misgivings. But because of the job, you surrendered to it, even though you ignored your instinct. You were not supposed to go there in the first place. But you didn't believe God to get you another job.
Jesus.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's okay. God is, you know, God, he's at it all the time. If God ever had, listen, if God got a good hour where everybody in the church had faith in him, he would already in the world because he'd be done, because he's used to us having to work it through. But I hear the Holy Ghost say, yes, you should, but you should not leap as if you, you know, you shouldn't leave. Somebody, somewhere, you need to make sure that where you're going, you not only have a job, but there's an open heaven. You don't have an open heaven here, but where you were was an open heaven.
My God.
I was in Florida.
Huh?
I was in Florida.
Well, yeah, and there is an open heaven in Florida. So that's where you're going. You're probably going to do pretty well. But you don't do well. You're not that person who can go to a hard place, start from scratch, and maintain the faith and the endurance and the perseverance, as well as the outlook to see it through to the end. So this is killing you, and you do need to leave. Now, if you have family somewhere, that's all the better, because you can make your move a lot more smoothly. But the bottom line is, you cannot say that this is, that, you know, God didn't warn you. He did. You did not feel good about this. Because if you say you dream like you dream, I know God talked to you. But God says, the land of recovery, I see wherever you put your feet in your new land, it will be called to you the land of recovery.
Would Atlanta, Georgia be that place?
You know, I would have to give a lot more prayer than is here. But I will tell you this much. Either way, wherever you go, God says you will recover because he is guiding your footsteps. You will do well. But there where you are, no, there's no open heaven. And there wasn't one when you got there. It was chaotic when you got there.
Yes.
Because there was no open heaven for you there. So you need to, you know, you got to know that it's time. Now, so you need to go where there's an open heaven for you. God does not tell me that Atlanta is not going to work for you. He doesn't. As a matter of fact, I feel an unction that you'll do well there. But make sure you go in there correctly. Don't flee like a fugitive. Go there as in a way that makes you able to set up.
Okay.
So do you have friends there? Emily?
I have friends in Atlanta.
Okay, make sure that you go there set up wisely. I just keep hearing God say wisely. Whatever that means to you, wisely. Plan it. And don't plan to stay with your friends for a long time. That won't work. Plan to be on your own within 6 months if you relocate to be with a friend.
Okay.
Plan to be on your own in 6 months. Now, what is it your career? Because we need to pray you in a job, apparently.
I've always been in customer service, been in management with customer service. I've been looking for a lot of things. People in the insurance industry are really pulling on me, but that's not what I want to do. I just love customer service, helping people. And that's what I've been in for decades.
Well, have you posted your resume and all of that?
I have.
Okay. And so have you also connected with a personnel agency?
Yes, ma'am. And I've even sent some to Atlanta, Georgia.
Have you talked with personnel people in Atlanta?
I have not.
Okay, because if that's where you're going, you probably need to start talking to them. All right? And I'm sure that your friends can help you. But thank God for the Internet, because, my goodness, there are a lot of things you can do. And don't give up doing it from your home, you know? Don't give up doing it from your home.
Okay.
I mean, you might be able to do a virtual customer service position.
All right. Okay.
Because I need that. I've
been a tither for like 30 years almost, but here now in the last 3 weeks I couldn't, because I don't have any money coming in, and my son is here with me. He's an adult, but he's here with me. He doesn't want to be here. He wants to go back to Florida. So I'm just in a dilemma, and I just wanted to hear what God is really saying in this hour for me.
Well, now let me tell you the other thing. I don't want to leave you without giving you this last piece. You need to stop celebrating the fact that you were born rejected from the womb. Because if you were born again, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you are reconciled to God. Stop that testimony. Kill that.
Yes,
that is what. It's almost like you've given every spirit of rejection and earshot permission to just perpetuate your bondage. We're not doing that. You're done with that. Now, I don't care how illogical it sounds. I don't care how intellectual it is. If you've got counselors that are coaching you through that, you need to loose them, because I'm telling you, that is not God on your life.
Okay.
Now, God says that he's given you his favor, and that his favor is for life. That's what he says to me. And so you're going to start talking his favor, and you're going to eliminate that. All those little journals and all of those sad stories and stuff you write, kill that. Half of those dreams you have is that spirit reinforcing it in your life. I need you to end that.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're not going to have another conversation about since I was in the womb. Nobody can. That's why we have the new birth. So all that craziness that happened to us before the womb is dead in the water. And in your case, it really is. Now, that's not to say it isn't for everyone else, but in your case, you should have been blessed long before now. You are 10 to 12 years out of the harvest that God has had for you. That's why I don't know what happened over the last 10 to 12 years, but you literally... out of the harvest of God.
My Lord.
And you were seduced into doing it by believing that this spirit of rejection had a right to make people lie to you, break their promises, disappoint you, hold back their blessings, and to all of those kinds of things. See, you are given that thing permission to keep you in trial and tribulation.
My Lord.
So we're not going to have that testimony again.
Right.
Okay, so that's first. I'm just happy to be able to kill that thing, because that's insane. Don't do that. You know, I fight those kind of things in people, because this thing called spiritual warfare is a lot more sophisticated than we imagine. And it does a whole lot to seduce us into agreeing with it.
Wow.
So when we begin to agree with it, then our testimony becomes that assault. And so it's like us renewing our contract, and so we recertify that thing in our life. So I need you to stop certifying your strong men. They're out, let them stay gone.
Yes.
Now, Father, now whatever you did 10 to 12 years ago, you're going to need to sit with God and let him tell you, because something was beginning to flow for you, and you jumped ship somewhere, and it hasn't. You have not been able to get back to that place.
Yeah, I came to Wichita.
But that's empty. Shut up. Told you no open heaven there for you. Your open heaven was where you were. But that's it, right? God is a faithful God. And he said to tell you, fear not, for I am with you. And I will redeem the time. And I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the locust, and the palmer worm have taken. You are going to get another opportunity. And this time, you're going to hear God and not your friends. Because anybody that has that kind of spiritual activity going, you ought to have heard God clearly. But that's okay. God is a good God. He's a sugar pie God, and we so love him. So, Jesus, we thank you right now for restoring this woman. We thank you, God, for forgiving Carolyn and restoring her back to where she was. And, God, I thank you for guiding her footsteps. Now, since she feels Georgia's in and you have agreed, I open the way for her to get to Georgia. I open the powers that be. I open the resources of that land for her to get in, to be received, and to be accepted. We find a job for her, and we call that job to call her up and to employ her so that she can relocate and do so securely and go there financially protected when she gettable in that land. And I thank you. Now I speak to the powers that be in every agency in that land, and I give you an assignment to receive her, to process her entry into that land, and to open up your resources to establish her there. Get it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, wonderful woman.
Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
You are more than welcome. God bless. I think I'm running out of time. But anyway, I'm glad that we settled that. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Am I running out of time?
You are out of time.
God bless you all. Talk to you Tuesday night, again Thursday.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.